find that song on fucking Blog Talk and gonna play.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time
I'm just not into the long intro this week. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Jake Fallon Show. Hey, Jen.
How are you?
Good quick response there.
Good.
hey, Eli. I was asking you.
Hey,
sounded
Jacob.
Tired. You all right?
No, I'm fine. I just kind of have a headache, so I've been drinking a lot of water because I heard that gets rid of it.
Are you? Did you eat?
So do painkillers.
Yeah, take a painkiller.
I'll pass.
Well, we're all under the weather. I missed 2 days of work this week. I was home. Not feeling well. I feel better now, but we'll pull through. It's just an hour show, guys. Let's tough it out.
Were you dying when you were sick?
No, and I kind of resent that you alluded to the fact that, first of all, that all men are babies with cold, and that I'm a baby with a cold. You've never seen me with a cold.
Well, if you stay home from work, you're a baby with a cold. So my husband hasn't missed a day of work, so I can say he's not a baby with a cold, but I do get to hear a lot of complaints, like a lot. Like, I can't complain. I don't have time.
Well, my wife was actually very sick. Like, she has the full chest cold. So a lot of why I stayed home was twofold. First of all, my mom's a germphobe, for those of you who don't know. She's in town. Like, she wears gloves and stuff out in public. And so when I'm not feeling well, she doesn't want me in the studio.
Wait, does she really wear gloves out in public?
Sometimes.
Like, cute gloves, not like rubber.
Yeah.
Gloves.
No, I mean, not all.
Oh,
but
okay.
She like, it's always uncomfortable. She doesn't like to shake hands. And she's, like, to her credit, she's very upfront about it. She won't go, like, ugh, and pull away. But, like, we always, like,
oh, I'm with
whenever
her.
There's
it's
a meeting.
Gross. There's, like, a permanent mental note after you shake hands.
Yeah,
wash
I'm
it.
With you. It is gross. Especially if people are, like, greasy. So, anyway, she's what I'm saying is she's the kind of person that doesn't like to shake hands. So she certainly doesn't like me in her office sneezing all day. So she prefers I stay home. And then the second thing was my wife was really sick, so I kind of had to take care of her. I mean, she couldn't even get out of bed. I was, like, feeding her. Like the English patient. So I stay home because I'm a loving and wonderful husband, not because I'm a big baby.
Well, then I take it back, Jake. I'm sorry.
I see Jay's on the phone, but did you want to tell me about the Boy Scouts? Because I do kind of want to hear about this before.
He can talk about it too, maybe. I want to see if he did Boy Scouts. But it's something I swore I would never do is put my kids in Boy Scouts. Like, I can't believe I let him go to Boy Scouts. This week.
And what were you, because I know this is a big deal that your oldest boy is going to Boy Scouts. What is it that you're worried about? Tell our audience.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to be responsible for getting him molested. So I feel like me putting him in Boy Scouts is setting him up. And at first I felt like I was being very discriminatory to what happens in Boy Scouts. But no, I have this Boy Scout manual that I'm supposed to read first. And it really tells you to look out for child molesters in the book.
So the manual before you join the Boy Scouts does have a warning for how to not get molested in the Boy Scouts.
It has, yes, in the preface, in the beginning, before his handbook, there's a part we have to read and sign. And part of me thought it was just informative for people that don't know about child abuse. But I think it's more saying, don't say we didn't warn you. Because
right.
it says child molesters look and act quite normal except for their interest in children. They often establish relationships with children through organizations and then use those relationships to gain access to children. So I was like, wait a minute. Are they saying, like, look, if you put your kid in here, he's going to get molested?
They are. That has lawyer and legalese all over. Now, I know a thing or two about this, one, because I have Jewish relatives, and two, because just in television and production, you always have to go through the lawyers. This, I guarantee you, is basically what they call liability, to cover the liability. So, yeah, they can now claim, they're putting this in the book specifically so that when your kid goes to the Boy Scouts and gets molested, they can point to the manual saying, we warned you. It's all.
And we warned you to look out for people that touch your boy's penis. So,
yes. So it's his fault.
And
he was
Girl
asking
Scouts
for it.
Too. It's not just about Boy Scouts. If I had a daughter, I'd have issue putting her in Girl Scouts, too.
I wish you had a daughter.
You're sick.
No, I'm kidding. But it is a sad state of affairs that, like, the Boy Scouts, I mean, I don't know if they always were molesting kids and they just never talked about it or if it started to happen, but certainly Nowadays, joining the Boy Scouts does come with a little bit of intense fear as a parent that your kid's going to get molested, and that's just sad.
Well, I mean, and devil's advocate, if I was a pedophile, I mean, the first job I'd apply for would be to be a Boy Scout leader, right? Like,
it's a no-brainer. Or, you know.
Yeah, I told my husband he has to go on every overnight. I'm going to be there every time in the, you know, the room across from them, but it's a group that way at least. And then there's no way he's camping without my husband. So.
Well, I just think it's just such a crazy statement on society that, like, in the old days, the fear of the Boy Scout was that your kid would, like, fall down a mountain or scuff up his knee or, like, you know, or catch on fire. That was what parents used to worry about, and now you have to have
right.
a fucking manual about, like, how not to get molested. So
yeah,
I'm very
proud
of you, Jen. Yeah,
now I'm hoping he's just learning how to set fires. I was like, okay, at least he'll be learning to set fires.
Yeah.
Like, I felt better about that.
It's crazy that it's risky now. I mean, again, I don't know if this is a new thing, because it's certainly more reported now. I don't know if this has always gone on or if maybe child molesters are just working their way in the Boy Scouts. I don't know, but it's certainly sad that you even have to worry about that. I think that's crazy.
I know.
So I am proud of you. I know how, I don't want to say overprotective. I don't think you're overprotective.
I'm protective, and I think
yeah.
you're supposed to be. So.
I think you should be. You're sending your boy to sleep outdoors with grown men that you don't know very well. That does, you know.
And
it's
women.
Not like they're
his leaders are women. I don't feel super comfortable with women either, to be honest. Just
no, they diddle.
Putting your kid alone in someone else's care in complete ways seems weird.
Unless they're a mega billionaire pop star, then it's totally cool.
Well, yeah. No,
if they pay you after
anyone with millions of dollars that wants to rent my kids out, just let me know.
Your phone's kind of, all right, enough of this child molestation talk. Jay Rodriguez, I'm very excited. You're on, are you there, first of all, Jay? Hello?
Yes, I'm here, but wait, we have to stop talking about molestation because I'm here?
Oh, no, we're going to go right into it. We'll go right into it.
No,
I've
been listening ever since the germphobe, and I didn't know that about your mom, but it's true, I do remember her wearing cute gloves every now and again out in public, and I was like, what a great fashion choice, like, what a fun thing. I think specifically, I remember on her roast, I think she wore gloves.
She did?
She knew she probably had to do a lot of hand touching and things. I think she did. I remember
she did.
Anyway, but. Yeah, so, I actually wasn't in Boy Scouts. I was in the Evangelical Pentecostal Christian version, which is called Royal Rangers, which sounds like trouble, right? It sounds like
Rangers.
Molestation
wow,
City.
Yeah,
yeah Rangers sounds like Butt Ranger. No, but listening to you talk about your son, I mean, like, I don't have kids. It's not even a concern of mine, but I absolutely echo everything you said, just having seen enough TV specials about molestation, when you really break it down, you're like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. They're fostering relationships with all these little boys, and you're basically saying, okay, go have fun with someone I kind of know who's an adult and a couple adults. I don't know. Just hearing it from a mother's point of view, now I'm kind of iffy about it. I mean, I don't know about – I'm sure it's been happening for as long as organizations like this have been around, but, yeah, it's been more publicized now than ever before.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, and
so.
I feel like if I don't pay attention to those things, then I'm neglectful. I always blame people
the
for their kids getting
attention.
Molested. If your kid gets molested, I think it's your fault because in some way you have to take responsibility. I let them go with people and didn't really check them out. In most cases, I think we have control over it.
People well, and they seem trusting or whatever, but I think there are a lot of warning signs. There's obviously communication between a parent and their kid that needs to happen. People don't like talking about sex. People really don't like talking about things like molestation. They're just like, they think it's going to be a bad guy, a monster. But when it's someone, a friend and a trusting, I mean, there are key words that, you know, molesters and people have been using for decades or since the beginning of time that, you know, garner their trust. And you see all these movies and specials about it. And it's kind of crazy because the bad guy generally doesn't look and or seem bad.
No, it's true. I mean, I don't want to hash up old arguments I've had on the show, although I do every week after I say that, then I hash up the argument. But, you know, I've been in a lot of fights over Michael Jackson because there's still a large portion of people that think he's completely innocent, and they're ridiculous in my estimation because even if he never went fully to the point where he's, you know, poking fingers in butts or whatever they do. I've never molested a kid. I'm not sure what the proper etiquette is. But there's poking involved, I'm sure. That when you read the police reports of some of the kids, when they tell back what happened, it is completely the actions and speech, word for word, of a pedophile. I mean, it's about trust. And there was one story where Michael Jackson tried to kiss the kid, and the kid pulled back, and Michael Jackson said, "Why don't you like me?" Which is what pedos do. That's how they get you to feel guilty if you don't let them put their fingers in your butt or whatever they do. As I said, I don't know.
So it is, the whole thing does kind of creep me out, and it's funny. I haven't really ever thought about it until now. I'm at the age where my friends are really starting to have kids, and you start looking at the situation like, oh wait, what's happening? Like, you know, and you're of that age now where it's my, you know, I'm now having friends having this concern, and it's really shocking. Specifically because I feel like a lot of celebrities, you know, people in general are scared to talk about the Michael Jackson thing, strictly because of, you know, his legacy and what he'd accomplished and what he'd done. And so it was almost like sacrilege to say anything, or not even that he did it, but that you had concerns that he might have, was already like, forget it. Like, don't even say that. I mean, it was crazy.
Well, and with that many people, it's not like it was one kid. There was a lot of kids and a lot of suspicion. And he's not the first millionaire, billionaire. And we don't really hear this happening. You know, Jake's mom was
the other thing is
you didn't hear all these cases,
like,
anything.
Sex aside, the stuff he was doing, like, I don't necessarily know that most parents would be comfortable with a grown man having that level of intimacy with their kids. You know, like,
my kid would never sleep over at a grown man's house.
Even if it didn't escalate to the point of, like, genital touching and stuff, it's already kind of creepy. Like, I would not feel comfortable with my, you know, nephews or whatever, like, sleeping in bed with a grown man, you know?
It was
just
underwear, Jay. Underwear is
no.
And he
just
did
underwear.
Give them one.
Great.
There was,
I'm
going to
use that line tonight with a grown man. You know, I'll meet out of it. We're just going to do the underwear MJ cuddle.
I hope that works for you. Well,
that's
something I've noticed.
Funny.
Like, it is such an uncomfortable and taboo subject to talk about, obviously, because it's uncomfortable and taboo. But one thing I've noticed in people that I've always kind of sniffed out, especially somebody that would defend a Michael Jackson, so to speak, is that I have started to form the theory that people that are uncomfortable about talking about it, to the point where they'll just go completely deluded, have either had an experience in their life that they're completely shutting out, which is what you do if it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very normal response.
Yeah.
Or they're so uncomfortable with the very thought of it that if they do discuss it openly, then they somehow make it a real thing that happens, if that makes any sense. Because there's really no...
I agree. Because suddenly not about other people. Because I think it's one of those things, if you've never experienced it, then you're talking about this weird, mysterious thing that may or may not have occurred. But when you really get into the nitty-gritty, people can't generally hold their ground. I agree with either A, they've experienced it and then they're suddenly reliving trauma with just talking about it, or B, like, they never really thought it pertained to themselves or could happen to them or anyone that they would care about, and then suddenly the reality hits and you get these facts and you're like, oh, fuck.
It's certainly interesting. And before we start talking about chai mowing and all the fun stuff we're going to get into, I should introduce you officially.
Oh, yeah.
And besides, Jen sent me a note to do so I have to do it.
Oh, okay. good radio.
Yeah, exactly. You're most well-known, of course, for Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah.
Very popular. I think that was a Bravo show. I was a huge fan.
It was one of the first, actually. Kind of put them on the map. Before the table flipping and weave pulling.
Right. Back in the day. And it was a fantastic show. I mean, for those of you who don't remember it, basically it was four gay guys that would take a straight guy.
Five,
who was, yeah. Oh, five. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. Five gay guys. They each had their own specialty. You were the sort of the specialist on culture and etiquette, if I remember correctly.
It just basically when the dude had a makeover, I would help him behave better in different situations. Get the girl, get the job, get the life you want. Which at 23 probably wasn't the best job for me to have. Now being 34, I might have a little bit more to contribute. But yeah, it was basically a makeover show. Well-rounded,
right.
Makeover show.
But it was well done. And you know, they'd take these straight guys that hadn't shaved or, you know, washed in years and give them sort of the metrosexual makeover, and it was great.
Yeah, it was funny.
And then I see now that you've been doing it for years. You actually started in high school, from what I can tell, that you've been acting. So my first question to you...
Yeah, that was the crazy thing.
Were you an actor first, and then you got like a...
Yeah.
A lot of times reality shows are cast. They cast actors because it's all bullshit.
Well, that's sort of what happened. I think what ended up happening was that my career, like, I was... High school, did the, you know, performing arts high school thing. Right out of high school, I got Rent at a time where Rent, the Broadway musical, was like the hottest ticket in town. And, You know, I was like the youngest person ever cast in the leading role on Broadway in that show. So it was a big deal, and I did that show for 5 years. So really half a decade of my life, I was always associated as the kid from Rent. And after that, I, you know, got bored seeing eight shows a week, so I created my own top 40 night at this nightclub, and it became like the must-see night. Well, a cast of a new television show that had yet to air but had shot two episodes, they were the producers of Queer Eye, were trying to get their cast to bond, and, you know, they were having a hard time with it. So they thought about recasting, saw me gigging at this club, kind of top 40 with, like, you know, kind of, you know, stream of consciousness humor about my week, and it became this very popular evening, and I thought, let's get that kid on the show. And that literally was sort of how it all went down. So they knew I was a performer. I wasn't really allowed to talk about it on the show. They were like, no, now you're a culture savant. So you're sitting across from Oprah and Jay Leno and trying to fool these people that I have some etiquette knowledge, like the Puerto Rican Emily Post. but it was interesting. It was a really crazy time. But, you know, I kind of found my way and found my voice on that show. The guys were all 10 years older. So it was I was like their little brother in many ways. So I kind of stayed out of the fights and stuff. But it was a really cool time. But, yeah, after Queer Eye, I thought oddly being on television in that way would help my scripted career. But it didn't. I moved to L.A., and it was a struggle. Like, I did all the hosty things that sort of spun off from being on a show like Queer Eye, some fashion-related things, which I don't really know anything about. But I would read the prompter fine and have a good personality. And then after a while, just kind of took Queer Eye off my resume and started auditioning like everyone else and built up a nice resume and finally, you know, got on – be a series regular last year on an ABC sitcom, which was cool. So, you know, like it kind of, I'm kind of in a good place with it now. Enough times passed where people are like, oh yeah, you did that thing back in the thing. In the so it's like they know me, but they don't know exactly, which is very helpful.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, I was worried about even bringing it up because I hate to do that when somebody else is way
fine.
Past that point in their career, and you're like, hey, they do that to my mother all the time in the sitcom, and I'm
yeah,
sensitive.
And I've owned that, like, you know, I'll always, you know, I've probably done more television since Queer Eye, and we did 100 episodes of Queer Eye, so it's like, I recognize that for some people there was a lot of significance to them at that time, or maybe that show. I mean, you know, I can't take away from the fact that sometimes people come up to me and say, hey, my parents didn't know anyone gay, and I had struggled coming out, but when every night they welcomed the five of you into their home, it made coming out a little easier because they could relate to someone now and be like, oh, it's not this thing, it's you guys. So then, like, things like that are kind of cool, and you're like, all right, that's cool, and it kind of helps somebody else. So I don't ever try to, like, completely, because there was a time where I was like, I don't want to even acknowledge it, but I think it's, you got to, and I think this year, having done a couple reunion shows, like for Bravo, and we did one on The View, and did one for Oprah, and so it was kind of cool, and you don't really, I don't know, doing it, you don't think about any significance that the show might have or impact, and then they tell you, you know, maybe what it did or how it rated or, you know, how many countries it aired in and blah, 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 or first all-day cast on network television, like all these things, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess it did do some shit, didn't it? So I don't know. Sure. It's cool. I embrace it.
Well, that's good to hear. I want to go back to that time, like how weird that would be if you're a Broadway actor and you were on the Broadway version of Rent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You were like on the real legit.
Yeah, like, and
like you weren't
at
least.
To be frank, no, like I didn't have any TV aspirations. Like I honestly, to be really legit, I just thought I was going to bounce from Broadway show to Broadway show and that was going to be my life. And I was really content with that. Like, you sort of, that was all I thought was a viable option. You know, I was a good singer, a good actor. I was always working in New York. I was a name people knew. I was a pop rock singer. So it's like, they needed ethnic and pop rocky. I was like, boom, they had me in there. So I was happy. I was fine. And then this came up. And the other thing is, if you think about it, 10 years ago, people weren't really coming out. There wasn't that many out actors. And if they were, it was like Jim J. Bullock, Elton John, RuPaul. You know, there wasn't that many. There was like Will and Grace was on the air, but even Sean Hayes, who played Jack, had never really publicly, quote-unquote, come out. I mean, not that he needed to, but he never really did.
Yeah.
So it was a different climate where, like, saying, yo, I'm gay and I'm on TV was a very big deal. And I think, I don't know, I think probably at the time I was like, fuck, they're going to pay me more than – oh, no, they didn't. Well, first season, they didn't really pay us that much. But I thought once it went going, I was like, maybe it'll amount to something. But, you know, I kind of just did it for the money the first season, I'll never forget. And then it just blew up, and suddenly I was like, uh-oh, people are going to see this. Because at first I thought, no one will see it. Who watches Bravo? It's like old movies. And James Lipton, you know.
So you're a successful actor as far as Broadway standards go, and you're doing well. You see this pilot, you're probably thinking, oh, best case scenario, I'll make a little money and get some exposure. And then the show becomes immensely popular. Obviously, you have to break from your first love, which is Broadway. How long in between the last thing you did and the end of Queer Eye before you were doing it again?
It was sad, because what happened was I left Rent, the big Broadway show, to go do an off-Broadway show, because you always want to kind of try to jump into new shows, get on new soundtracks, because that's sort of how you get reviews, and then based on those reviews and those soundtracks are how people know that, you know, what you do, because, you know, if you've been a show for forever, they're going to forget about you. So I was left for 6 months from Rent to do this off-Broadway musical that became very popular, and I wasn't making that much because it was off-Broadway, so I took Queer Eye, thought, okay, I'll go back to Rent when the stupid little Queer Eye thing is over. And then Queer Eye blew up, and I had to give my notice at Rent, and I was bummed because I didn't ever get, like, when someone leaves the show, they get them a cake, all the fans, like, make all this stuff. It was a really crazy, fun, farewell performance-y kind of thing that would always happen, and I didn't get it, so I was kind of pissed. But then Queer Eye runs for 3 years consecutively, and I think my last year, or maybe it was my first, maybe in the middle of the run of Queer Eye, I went back to Rent, and I did, like, I think a six-week stint just to kind of have a farewell, you know, because it was a big part of my life. It was, like, basically my college years. And then, to be honest, I really never really went back. I moved to L.A. and started doing television, and, I mean, there's a part of me that's like, it'd be really fun to go back, but it's tricky when you're beige. Like, I'm not black, I'm not white, and in a leading man role, it's tricky. It's like you get to play, like, the sidekick, if that. And people like to say they cast colorblind on Broadway, but they don't. So, I don't know. It's kind of, it's tricky. I mean, like, if there was a right role, yeah, I would probably go back for it, but I'm pretty content with TV. This summer I did do In the Heights, which is a Broadway musical, but I did it in San Diego, and was just nominated for Outstanding Actor in a musical from the Outer Critics Circle, Theater Critics, whatever. So that was cute, but other than that, I don't know if I have real Broadway aspirations again. Like, it was fun, I kind of feel like I did it, but I don't want to live in New York anymore. I like LA too much.
You're interested in television acting, and you were on Nip and Tuck, is that correct?
I was on Nip Tuck, I've done Bones, I've done Days of Our Lives. I mean, last year I'm on a sitcom all year. I'm on How I Met Your Mother. I play Wayne Brady's husband.
Oh, perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
He hasn't come out yet,
right? Patrick Harris's gay brother. What'd you say?
He hasn't come out yet, Wayne Brady. When's he going to come
out? No, I don't think he's gay. I mean, I've hung out with him a bunch. I feel like I would know if he was, but maybe I haven't.
Were you totally surprised by Brian Boitano coming out?
No!
Was anyone,
Jen? That was public knowledge.
I know. I thought when they said he was came out, I was like, "Is this an old story?" I really thought it was. We all knew this.
Okay.
But
you know who I was pissed about? Who I'm really good friends with now, but I was so pissed when he came out because, okay, Lance Bass, and I love him. He's like a really funny, like, cool guy. But, like, mm-hmm. I just felt like, even when I was doing Rent, Joey Fatone from NSYNC came into the show, and I was like, Lance is gay, right? And he was like, nope, he's not gay. And he had hit it from his cast, from his bandmates so well. So this is like 2000, I think this is probably in 2003 or 2002 that I asked this. And so flash forward, suddenly I'm on Queer Eye, and I'm running in the same circles in Hollywood with Lance Bass. But he always has a gaggle of girls around him, and I was like, maybe he is straight. But then every now and again, I would see him at a gay bar, but again, he'd have a harem of girls around him. So I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong. So then he comes out on the cover of, like, People Magazine, whatever it was, and I was like, I knew it! And because I'll never forget, I tried taking a picture with him at some party, and, like, he gave me, like, a bro-like stance to take the photo, and I was like, oh, please, girl. And then later I saw him, like, you know, once he'd come out, and he was like, I'm so sorry, like, first words out of his mouth. That was funny. I mean, I don't know. I guess people like Neil Patrick Harris and stuff that people kind of knew, always knew were gay. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of cool now.
I think that's more inside,
stuff.
Yeah, because I didn't know.
Inside.
I have a pretty good gaydar, and my uncle's, I've been around, you know, West Hollywood a lot. So I would have never guessed
she has a
that
black friend.
Neil Patrick Harris was, but I never, you know, I didn't really pay attention to his interview or anything. But
what about Anderson Cooper? Did that shock you, or were you like, oh,
it shocked me.
Stuff.
Yes, it totally did. And it didn't change how I felt about him. I still would outdo him.
I mean, have to say, in his defense, like I'm. This will probably get me in trouble with the gays, but like I don't feel like everyone needs to come out, specifically if you're Anderson Cooper and you're in countries where they'll kill you. Like,
yeah.
That's just not smart. Like, he did the right
thing.
Not
only is it not
smart,
it seems like it, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, like, it seems like people don't want to talk about their sexuality a lot, especially if they're gay. Like, it's not about the sex, and it's not about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems
to
be like a huge party, like, guess who I like to fuck when it's time to, you know, come out.
I'm still
like, I don't see it as necessary either.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Like,
I mean,
Jodie Foster. Jodie Foster was the funniest, I have to say.
She was crazy. And that whole monologue, I was like, and then she was on a movie like a couple months later. I was like, what the? I don't know what to do with it. She's quite a charismatic lady.
And
well, here's what we need to do. We need to have another term. Because we have coming out, which is like, to me, coming out means someone that's in the closet that nobody, like Rock Hudson came out. Or I think he died. But
Before it was acceptable, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, like, it came out. It was an announcement. But, like, Katie Ling or Brian Bertano, that's not really coming out.
Right.
There's no closet. You know, there should be a different term. Let's come up with that today, Jay. Like, that should just be, like, I don't know what that is. Like, saying.
Coming out.
Because you're not in the
closet.
Wait
a minute. Yeah, it's like a soft come out. I got to figure it out.
Exactly.
I'm going to think about it. It might come to me later today, so expect a tweet from me.
Yeah. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Jay. We'll figure it out. But I think that would help a lot of the confusion because I, as a straight guy, it's like there's a while after like what Jen's getting to of like, oh, everyone's coming out, and now it seems to be this big party, and we're kind of getting, you know, straight people are kind of like, oh, God, just shut the fuck up already. Everyone's coming out. But if you say, this isn't really a come out, this is more like an announcement party. It wouldn't be.
Yeah, well, I like the idea of having a party. I do like a theme party. Like that's
kind of
funny.
Yeah.
But I think like the interesting thing for me is like just simply having people who are like, you know, feel that like they really want to make a statement, then just live your life. Like just don't hide it. Have your, you know, go to dinner with that special friend somewhere public and don't use the back door. Like, I don't know, you know. But the announcement part generally in the past has sometimes been because some news media outlet was going to do it for them and they wanted to do it on their own terms. But people like Rosie didn't surprise me. Ellen maybe a little because I was really young when that happened and I don't think I knew what gay really was. But like, yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to me. I mean, just the representation in television on a whole, like people are just seeing gay people everywhere. So it's not that big of a deal anymore, I think. But then again, I'm also living in a big city, you know, so.
Well, yeah,
I think a figure skater, a male, sorry, but
go
I think
ahead.
A male figure skater should, like, if there's a coming out party, it needs to be that I'm straight. Like,
I agree.
Guess
what
guys, like,
guy?
Trust me, I'm straight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What about that cute little diver guy who just came out, who, like, has, like, gay eyes? I mean, like, in the most beautiful way, but he's really pretty. It's like this diver, this famous diver. Is he a swimmer or a diver? I don't know what he is, but he just came out of the closet. No, he's like young. He's like current. He's like a new one, but he's dating Dustin Lance Black, who won the Oscar for Harvey Milk for writing Milk or whatever. Anyway, that's a little gay trivia for you.
Well, I was afraid it would go gay. I didn't want to do that, but I do, since we're there. And I got to say, Jay, I've never had a gay guy on my show yet. I've had tons of lesbians.
What?
It's weird.
Well,
at least that
his
I know.
Uncle.
Well,
uncle.
Yeah, I had my uncle, and he didn't talk to me for 6 months because I said that I felt it was best for a kid to have a mother and a father, ideally. I didn't say that gay people should not have kids.
I think a lot of people would want to have at least, you know, a dude and a female around just because some shit happens and you want to have some questions.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I didn't have a that always, like, some, you know, a lot of people have divorced, and I get that, or some people are single parents, I get that, but, you know, anyway, so he didn't talk
to
me, got it.
Our guest last week, Eric Kelly, is a trainer, said it best. He's like, you know, a woman can't teach a boy how to be a man, just like a man can't teach a girl how to be a woman, and I think there's some truth to that. So I was just speaking in terms of ideal, and he didn't talk to me for 6 months. But here's the thing. That's all old news. I have a question I've wanted to ask gay people forever, and it's, don't worry, it's not sexual. What is it about Broadway? Why do gays like Broadway?
Ooh.
So much? Can you
here's the funny thing. I feel like that gay is he's still around. Like, he's like definitely the baseline gay. But what's interesting now is also because being gay is a little bit more socially accepted, you have this whole new school of young and older gays who are able to more fully embrace non-quote-unquote stereotypical gay things, meaning suddenly the gay community is expanding, and in every major city, there's a huge gay sports bar. In New York, it's Boxers and Gym Bar. Here in L.A., it's Gym Bar, but they all play sports. It's like suddenly the Broadway gays have less to do than the mainstream jockey gays who now also have equal representation. Because I remember when I was younger, that was like all the bars in New York would like have show tunes or at least have like that was like, you know, a once a week thing. And then like suddenly now I went back to New York and it was like it's all sports themed. So it definitely it's still there. It's definitely the baseline thing. I think part of it is just like the idea of I think there's an attraction to like, you know, I think when you're younger and you have to suppress so much, the idea of being someone else, especially going off to some sort of fantasy place where you can live this really wonderful life. And in most Broadway musicals, there's a lot of that kind of magical stuff going on. There's something attractive about it. But yeah, the Broadway divas and the icons like the Lizas and all that kind of stuff. I'm not necessarily sure that I gravitated toward that fully. I think I was always more like the pop rock icons. But in the same way, I don't know what the Broadway, I don't know how it all started. I think the idea of just liking things that are really, really big and glitzy and gay at its truest form of the word, you know,
right.
Like, it is kind of funny how you know the community does lean toward things that are a little more sparkly, but the new thing is and which is interesting is you know young kids now like that's why gaydar is so hard for me especially when I travel because the gay kids now don't feel the pressure like when I came out I was first of all super like straight Long Island thick accent like I'll kill you then get Lance and suddenly I'm playing this. Never meeting anyone gay, never had a gay kiss, nothing. And I'm playing someone who's comfortable in another gender clothing. I'm like, what is this? So I went completely the opposite direction and started wearing like pleather pants and like gay. I would never now, but at that time I needed to go so far to the extreme just because I could and experiment what that was. And now I'm just a boring dresser. But,
interesting.
It's fascinating to me. It kind of, I think it comes full circle. I think you first come out, you go super crazy with everything, and then you kind of, a couple years later, you like settle into what you're supposed to be.
I find that a fascinating answer. Thank you. I mean, there's like psychological profiling, but it would make sense that there is sort of an escapist thing. If you know, back in the day when it was closeted and not as socially acceptable, that you would tend to be more interested in things that were fantastical and fantasy. I guess that makes a lot of sense. But still, I hate Broadway. I can't do it. I can't watch it. And this is why I'm stereotyping here.
Or you're saying strategically just singing and the dancing kind.
Well, here's because I thought about this morning in the shower before I asked you a question. Yes, I was thinking about you in the shower.
Okay.
Don't look into it. But I was thinking.
No, it's fine.
I watch Grease, and I love Grease. And I watch all the Disney Pixar movies, and I genuinely have a good time. So obviously, I'm not opposed to singing in a movie. But the way I think is like, well, in a movie, there's pictures to go along with it. It's
sure.
Evoking a certain emotion. When I go see a live play, like I saw The Lion King, which I did like, but every time there was a song and the dancers came out, I was so bored and turned off.
Right.
I felt like it was being shoved in my face.
What about, like, Book of Mormon, which is written by the guys of South Park? Like, I feel like I would love to see that with you. Like, you would love it. It's, like,
I'm so actually
reverent.
Going to see that.
I'm so jealous. I want to see it so
after,
bad.
The day after you see it, I want to talk to you. I want to know if you love it or hate it.
That is a very good point. I will report back to you afterwards. I do.
Yeah, you just went to one too, but okay.
Whatever. Well, that was Lion King.
I saw Evita and I hated it, and that's like I feel like they're gonna revoke my gay card.
That's
like,
what I'm
saying. I don't.
Yeah, I need someone to see Book of Mormon with because my husband won't see that shit.
I'll bring a
see?
Camera.
Oh my gosh.
I'll film it.
I think he would like it too because remember he watches what's the one you always say is gay, Jake.
What, a show?
Yeah,
Glee?
Glee, yeah. My
Glee
husband's, like, secret.
That's
he secretly
a little,
watches
that's
Glee.
That's even gay for me. That's,
thank
that's
you.
That's gay for me. I can't stomach
and then
it all the time.
He would lie about it, Jay. He would say, he wasn't watching it, and I'd find him recorded.
That's actually kind of cute, Leah. She really cracks me up.
Tell her the truth, Jay. I tried to tell her what that means, and she was very resistant.
Oh my gosh. Tell her
what she needs to hear.
Well, I think there's also, like, don't you, like, because I feel like I hate that, like, gay is, like, a slur, because I think there's something really funny about it at its truest form, because I think there's gay, and then I think there's homosexual, right? There's, like, gay as in things that are just, like, really sparkly and fun and, like, light and funny and, like, solely happy. In quotes and in capital letters, underlined. Then there's homosexual, man who wants to do something with another man. But just because you have gay interests doesn't mean you want a penis or a butt of a man. Like, that's not the same thing at all.
I think Jake's saying he's more girly. Like, I think that's what he truly means by it. Like, that's a wimpy show to watch or whatever. But
he's
not gay. Well, you know what? I can prove to you, like, way too many times that he's not. Because I tried to have sex with a gay guy before, and it doesn't work right. So...
Right. I've only had sex with girls until I was 25. I don't know. I think I just had something to prove. I was having sex with girls during Queer Eye, which was so stupid.
Oh, nice.
That makes me so happy to hear because
so hopeful.
Do you want to know why? Because here's what happened. I, again, played this, like, drag queen for 5 years, right? Dope role, great show, everyone loved it, didn't matter. But then I think I had, like, inner homophobia because, like, in a place where I grew up where it was, like, the worst thing you could ever possibly be, and then suddenly it was so accepted, and I was like, all right, but I'm not a drag queen, so, like, I had to rebel from that role, and so that kind of happened a couple of times in Rent, but not really until Queer Eye. Then it was, like, I was going to straight clubs, and I had never really gone that much to straight clubs when I was in Rent, but in Queer Eye, it was like, oh, I was a celebrity, and they would give me bottle service, and you know the kind of girls that hang out at those clubs, right?
Yeah.
They're like 10 pounds of sugar in a 5-pound bag. You can see their vagina when they're sitting down. Like, it's crazy stuff. So then it just kind of, the evening would lend itself to everyone just coming back to my place, and then there'd be the hang-on girls that, like, didn't care what the title of the show was. They were like, he's on TV, we're going to get this. And then after a couple drinks, everything became negotiable.
That's so cool. I mean, that just... I've been on 2 reality shows and never once got laid through either one, so I'm happy. On one level, I'm a little jealous that the guy from Queer Eye, the gay guy from Queer Eye, got more pussy
than
I did.
Well, see, now you're married and you have children, but, you know, like, had I known you back then, I would have easily gotten you laid.
What's that?
I said, had I known you back then, I would have easily gotten you laid. I got all my friends.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But listen, with that, I am going to go shower because I have to be somewhere at 2, so I have to rush.
Can I keep you
for
30 seconds?
Let's do this again.
Can I keep you for 30 seconds?
Absolutely.
All right. I have a caller, Susie, who we love. She had to call you real quick. Susie, make it quick, please. Sorry, I didn't know you had to go so quick.
No, it's okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so I am getting my PhD in religious studies, and I study evangelicals, and Jen texted me and said that you have a background in evangelicalism.
Yes.
So I was just curious about what your relationship is with that tradition now, or if you still have any kind of religious affiliation.
I think, you know, growing up, the one thing that I did like about it was I think it gave me a good foundation for the kind of human being I wanted to be. I think there's that saying that says, you know, eat the meat, spit out the bones. I couldn't have took the pieces that work for me as a person. And even though, quote unquote, my lifestyle, which I even hate using that word, I'll just use it because other people feel comfortable with it, is maybe something that people who are evangelical or religious may not be able to really fully bring their brain around. I know that that's what they need to believe to make that their religious beliefs work for them, and so I try to pass judgment on them not being able to accept that. However, I know my own life. I know my own faith. I know that I believe there's something bigger than myself. Do I know what that looks like, what his name is, or if these stories in the Bible are 100% accurate and true? No, I don't. And frankly, I'm kind of okay with myself because I know that moment where you're on a plane and there's turbulence and you think you might die, I kind of feel okay with the decisions I've made in my life. And I think that's the moment where a lot of people question, like, oh, God, Jesus, help me, save me, Buddha, Muhammad. And they go through the list until they feel like they've, you know, garnered acceptance from all of them. I don't. I kind of feel like, you know, I have a good kind of quiet relationship with whatever is bigger than me, and I feel like I'm thankful for what I've been given, but I don't have, like, the religious, super religious things. I think there's really great attributes in a lot of different religions, and I'm all around, leaving this world a better place than it was before I got here. I mean, I don't try to think of it beyond the scope of that, but I'm respectful of other people's religion.
Yeah, it's like you didn't throw out the baby with the bathwater, but
yeah.
You have a different
like,
relationship
now. There's so many
now.
Parts of it that are awesome and wonderful, and I'm totally have a lot of religious friends and Jewish friends and, you know, Christian, Catholic, whatever, and I, you know, will go to their home and, you know, go to their
yeah.
weddings and everything, and I don't care.
All right, Jay, I'm going to let you go, but please come back. I was nervous about this.
Absolutely. This was a blast. I absolutely loved it. It was really fun. Thanks
You're
for having me on,
Larry. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks
okay,
for following me all these all the
Yeah, and if you ever need a date to the Book of Mormon,
Boom.
Let me know.
We
My
got
husband
it.
Will let me go with gay guys or girls. So.
Right, Jay said he's coming back. Don't ruin it, Jen. He agreed to come back.
I'll keep loving Lee.
Okay, I will.
We'll
I'll stay
here.
Sober.
All right, thank you, Jay. Yeah, don't come on to Jay.
Bye,
no, that was
Jay.
Good. Susie, how have you been?
Well,
you
know, I heard two girls.
I have
Susie,
to call
he's
in
our,
just
he's our perfect threesome.
I know. When he said Book of Mormon date, I was like, why isn't anyone taking him up on that?
Well, he's in New York. How you been, Susie? I haven't talked to him forever.
No, he's in
yeah,
L.A., by the way.
You're MIA on Twitter.
What's that?
I feel like you're MIA on Twitter.
I am. I'm taking
yeah.
a little time off to stop Twitter. Well,
why?
A lot of
it's annoying,
I've been
you
sick,
know.
Sick, and I've been home, and I don't know. I think... I didn't make a resolution to get off Twitter or anything, which I think is the prevailing theory. I don't know. There was just, I took a few days off because I was spending time with family, and then I just didn't miss it as much as I thought I would. I mean, I missed the people
yeah,
I talked
well,
to.
Yeah, well, we miss you.
I know. I've been tweeting a little bit more the last few days. I just want to joke around with people. I don't want to, you know, I have to time my arguments and wars
yeah.
properly. I think I just got burned out, to be honest with you. I really did.
Well, you
I mean,
went... You went wild at the end of the year last year, so maybe it's good. You need to reset.
Yeah, I think everyone should do that. The beginning of the year, it's a new year. Just take stock, but I'll be back. We have a lot
well,
of news
I appreciate
to get...
you taking me a call. I'm sorry I interrupted. I know he was in a hurry, but that was intriguing to me.
We'll stay. Can you stay on or you have to go?
No, I got to go.
Oh, all right. Susie called.
But I love you.
I love you, too.
Love you, Susie. When are you visiting
Bye.
Again?
February.
Nice. Jenny might be out around that time too. Yeah, and Jenny too. Well, me, Susie, and Jenny will.
Oh my
That's
gosh, mayhem! I love it.
All right, I'll let you go, Susie. Why don't you call
bye
me?
Bye, guys.
Sometime? All right, bye.
Bye,
okay.
Susie.
Bye.
Susie only calls in when someone else is on. She doesn't give a crap when it's me. It's me, someone, Jay.
I
anyway.
Heard the kid. You would freak out if you hear the kid crying, so you can't blame her.
Well, why can't you guys shut your fucking kids up? I mean, why is that so difficult? Seriously.
I just gave him a water cup, so hopefully he stays quiet.
Yeah. There's things. Just stick stuff in his face, for Christ's sakes. Jay was fascinating. I'm glad he's back. Let's just not blow it. I'm going to watch my gay jokes on Twitter for a while.
Okay, I won't hang out with him until you have a second interview.
Thank you. Yeah, don't blow it like you always do.
I don't have babysitters. I need, like, a second person to go to a movie with or a theater with, and gay guys are the best.
Well, I would hang out with you more often if you didn't live so far away.
That's true.
Anyway,
I know. 30 minutes is so far.
It's almost an hour. Let's move on. Now that we've got... I didn't know we were going to lose Jay so early, so luckily we're so professional and well-prepared that we have news stories to go to if something like this were to happen. So I say we just go through it. Can I bring one up first?
Yeah.
Because this has really been bothering me. Actually, Eli sent it to me, and I've been on Twitter the last couple of days. I'm having another issue with how stupid fucking people are, particularly when it's surrounded by the term misogyny, bullying, all these terms that are sort of thrown out fancy. It's always driven me crazy. And the latest one to drive me absolutely fucking crazy is that fat hog, Lena Dunham, the creator and writer and star of the HBO show Girls, was at a panel yesterday answering questions about her show. And for those of you who don't watch the show, it's Girls. They say it's like Sex and the City, but it's not. It's even worse than Sex and the City. At least Sex and the City had stupid stories to carry you through. They're fucking pedantic bullshit. Girls is just a collection of scenes. And I've seen every one. I like it enough. Watch it. Oh, I just lost somebody. Hello? You guys there?
I'm here. I'm
okay.
Here.
I got a weird beep. So anyway, this fat pig's on the panel, and this guy... okay. I thought somebody's calling me, and it's fucking irritating. If you haven't watched the show, Jen, basically what it is
I watched one episode last night, but I have no clue yet. Just a lot of fucking. But.
It's just gratuitous and disgusting all around. And what it is that a lot of people, what she's done, Lena Dunham's genius, is because she's a fat, disgusting, fat lard body who's disgusting, is when she makes herself naked, when people get offended by it, she can then pull the card. Thank you, Eli. She can pull the card by saying, you don't respect me because I'm not beautiful. You are a misogynist. And she basically paints you into a corner when the truth is this woman is actually, I would argue, a sexual predator. Because here's the deal. You'll watch the show. You'll start getting into the characters and the scenes. And then she will flash you. And this is how a flasher works. For those of you who don't know what a flasher is, flashers are the guys that go around in trench coats and then show you their boners. And they get off on making you uncomfortable when they pop their trench coat open and show you their big boner. I don't see the difference between it, because I'll tell you why. Here's the difference. The scenes in which she's nude are completely gratuitous. They're not partial or important to the story. Not partial, sorry. They're not important to the story. It's not like here's a scene where I'm going to be naked. It's you'll be watching. She'll be watching TV. You'll be eating a bowl of cereal. Next thing you know, she's naked. And basically, you're getting sent in when you watch these shows, trapped in a room, and then she flashes you. And it feels that way. Not because she's fat. If she were a beautiful...
So you feel abused by her?
I do
like,
feel...
Like, you
think
you
I
could
like
actually sue her, maybe? Like, you could...
No, I would never sue
her for it?
Because I would just... I'm not a pussy. I would just stop watching the show, which I have. But the point is, she's painted this perfect blend around herself where if you sit there and say, wait a minute, you are forcing me to look at your disgusting body, and you're getting off on it, obviously, because you do it every episode for no fucking reason, which everyone else, if I were to do that, I would be a sexual predator and arrested. You can then paint it that anyone that has an issue with it is a misogynist. It's very disturbing. And what happened was at this panel, a reporter, and by the way, Jen, I am not the only one that thinks this. Many people have issues with the show. This comes up every time that fat hog goes out in public. People are like, why are you constantly
naked? But why
naked?
Do you have to say fat hog? It is because she's fat then.
No, she's a fat hog. That's just important for the story.
But is that what bothers you? What if it was a skinny woman up there getting naked all the time? You wouldn't be freaking out like this and feel like you're being flat.
Not true. I don't watch Game of Thrones. I don't watch True Blood. You and I have had this conversation. I've said it many times on the air. I don't like gratuitous sex because it insults my intelligence. It absolutely does. If it's important to the story, and this is a lovemaking scene, fine. If you've got to show titty, show titty. I don't need it. I understand what's happening in that. I'm more interested in the characters, the outline of the episode, and what's going on. If you have to be so immature and base-level thinking that you've just got to flash a titty, I don't get turned on by it. If I want to see naked people fuck, I'll watch porn. If I'm watching a show where I'm invested in the characters, I don't need that. And yet, it wouldn't matter if Lena was not a disgusting fat body. If she was a beautiful woman, I would be just as creeped out. In fact, I would argue I'd be a little bit more creeped out because here's a person with a perfect body constantly showing it. And here's the thing that really no one wants to admit. If she, and this is your point, Jen. You said this to me the other day. If she did have a good body, it would be women that would have a problem with it.
Oh, I completely think women would not be okay with her getting naked all the time if she was a hot woman. I mean, I don't even know which one she is. I watched one episode last night. But,
she's
how you describe her. Well, if it was someone super hot, I think people would be calling her a slut. And people would say she should cover up more. This show, you know, I think it would turn more people off. I think the fact that she's more realistic and men are actually upset by it, because I do not think men would be complaining if it was a woman. Maybe it wouldn't turn you on, but I don't think people would be saying, you should cover up more.
I mean, even if that were the case, that it is because she is such a disgusting fat body, that is what's unattractive about it, then that should make no difference. You should, as a writer and creator of show, you should start thinking about in terms of fucking storytelling. You should base a show saying this is beginning and middle and end of the episode. Not, here's a scene where I'm doing coke, which is amusing. The scene is amusing. Like I said, I've watched the show. There are amusing scenes. They don't go anywhere. They don't tie to the next scene. There's no story arc here. There's nothing happening. And then flash, fat titty face. That's the show, when you watch the show. And I think she needs to be checked into a sexual... whatever, aggressors clinic or wherever they put these people. She is a fucking flasher. And I don't care. Even if she were a beautiful, beautiful physical specimen, I would say the same thing. There's no need for her to be nude. So what happened anyway? Sorry, I'm talking a million miles a minute. This panelist guy had asked the panel basically the question, why are you continually naked on the show? And there's no reason for it in the story. He basically said what I just said. And her response was, you don't like me you're not into me, which is exactly what a flasher would say. Like, oh, I'm showing you my beautiful penis through this trench coat. You're uncomfortable by it. That's your mistake. I'm just here presenting. When it's really rude. It's really rude to flash your genitals in somebody's face when they're not expecting it. And then Judd Apatow then defended and called this reporter a misogynist and claimed that to ask Lena why her disgusting fat body is fucking throughout the episode for no reason whatsoever, that he's a misogynist and a woman hater. And now this guy, this reporter, for the last 48 hours is in complete defense on whether the fact that he is not a misogynist. And nobody's talking about the fact that here's a woman who writes her own episodes. It's important to note, Jen, she's not an actress asked to get naked. She writes the shows. So she writes that she's going to be naked in a scene. She doesn't
have
to go talk
to herself.
So you
think that she's purposefully putting a body that people are going to get upset about out there so that people will say, stop putting your body out there, and then she can say that they are fattists or whatever you
want. I don't think there's... No, I think what she's doing is she's an exhibitionist. She gets off on making people uncomfortable. She happens to have
a flasher. You think she's literally a flasher?
Well, let me ask you. Like, this is the question. Like, what makes a flasher tick? What is the turn on for somebody when they expose
themselves?
Yeah,
making people uncomfortable and not knowing how to deal with it. Yeah, but people can change the channel. Like, I think if it bothered people, they wouldn't watch it anymore.
But the thing is, there's enough good on the show. Like, there is decent acting, and there are really, like I said, I've watched every one. There are funny moments. So it's almost kind of sad. Like, you have this person that might have talent as a writer. I don't know, because she's never written an actual episode. She just said, I'm going to do this and then show my fat tits. That it kind of feels sad. Had somebody could grab her and say, how about instead of spending 40 hours this week in the script writing room saying, I'm going to show my fat ass and vagina and tits here, how about you explain what's going on between these two characters and where these two characters are going to go, which leads me to the final conclusion that she is a flasher because she has herself in a position where she could push the story forward and instead she chooses to flash her tits in your face and then get upset at you when you're turned off. That is flasher behavior. I think so.
Were you flashed as a child?
No, but, well, I'm flashed every fucking Sunday that Girls is on fucking HBO. I do feel that way. And I feel that way when I watch Game of Thrones, to be honest with you. And
yeah,
True Blood.
I don't like those. I watched it last night. True Blood's the only one I really let it happen with because I love vampires. But I watched it last night, and I've watched Game of Thrones. I've watched all the shows. I think it started with Nip Tuck, to be honest, speaking of Jay. But that was one of the first shows that really mixed in some soft porn into regular shows, and I don't like it. I liked Nip Tuck, and I like True Blood. But now I'm seeing it all the time. I do not, one, want to be desensitized to sex, or two, uncomfortable watching a show. You know, or it seems like two different worlds are coming together, and maybe it's a unique style, I guess, to mix the porn and regular, because it is porn. I mean, it's
total porn.
Technically and totally porn. So I don't like watching porn, period, but I definitely don't like watching porn in a good storyline. Like, it ruins it, like, right away for me.
Well, luckily,
I like a makeout session.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Lena Dunham is not—I see Brody's on the line. I'm going to take his call. If Lena Dunham is not a flasher, and that's just my opinion and theory. I'm not saying it's true. That's just what I think is happening here. Then she's a lazy, shitty writer because if she's not doing it,
would you feel differently if it was a thin chick, though?
No, I would be actually. Like I said, if it were an attractive woman, I would probably be even more turned off by it because then it's like, you know, I work hard in the gym, I want to show off my body, and that's just vain and disgusting. If anything, the fact that Lena is disgusting to look at, I mean, she looks like a wet potato that's just gotten peeled and left out in the sun. If anything, that makes it easier for me to look at because then I go, okay, maybe this isn't sexual. Maybe she's trying to make another point here because she's so disgusting. So I have a little bit more respect for her than I would somebody attractive. But since it happened continually, and I guarantee you, if we did a count, if we took every episode of Girls and counted the amount of times she was naked, it would disturb you. I mean, I bet it would be 20 to 30% of the time on a show. I'd go as far as to say it's possible. And at that point, it's not about whether her body is attractive or not. It's about the fact that I'm trusting this woman. I'm wasting my time every week to watch her show because I find her talented. I believe she's talented. Then she's being lazy and not doing her job. She should be writing. She should not be going, oh, well, here's a scene that's kind of boring. Show my tits. So either way,
doing something, though. You've talked about it for like 10 minutes, so
yeah,
it is doing something.
But then again, that's lazy. I mean, why can't people – like, I watched Homeland.
Well, let's see what Brody
okay,
wants
I'm
to
sorry.
Say about
yeah,
it,
I've got to settle down. I'm very passionate about this.
I guess so.
I'm like, sorry. I didn't know I'd be this mad. Brody, you're on the air.
Okay, first of all, I'm not even attracted to women, and I'd much rather see Lena Dunham naked than you. So please, for the eyes of all of your listeners, please stick to podcasting.
That's why I'm on podcasting. People are like, you should videotape yourself. Never going to happen. Yes, yeah, I know I'm
please
disgusting.
Please stay
I
the fuck on podcasting or radio, because nobody wants to look at you either, so.
Exactly.
And
I understand that.
So, Brody, what if Jake was, like, in a show, and let's say he was a good actor, but and he's naked all the time, and you had to look at that, would it bother you to see Jake naked all the time?
No, because guess what? Not at all, because I'm not set. Like, I watch girls all the time, and I'm not attracted to Lena Dunham at all, but I still watch the show, and I don't have any problems with the scenes that she's in. But I also wanted to say one other thing to Jake, and that's the accolades and positive reception the show's received sort of stand as a testament to how well the show is written. So maybe if you hired some of the writers, your podcast wouldn't be a complete piece of shit.
Well, you've made the same joke yesterday. So... I can see why you like Lena Dunham, because you had 24 hours to top the same joke and use the same one. This is what I mean by lazy writing. Here's the deal. I probably put more fucking time in coming up with conversations to have on the air than she does writing an episode. And if you could explain to me what
Lena
Dunham...
Well, that explains all of your listeners then, Jake, doesn't it? Because you put so much time into your podcast. Thank you. I totally agree.
Well, no, don't go. Don't go. Don't run away. Here's the thing. There is no story arc on that show. It's just the basic craft of writing. Like, I watched Homeland, for instance. I watched the first three seasons of the last week. Completely addicted to it. There are characters going through things. You follow it through the entire arc of the season. You have standalone episodes in between, but at the very point, every scene is pushing the story. That's writing. That I don't care if it gets accolades or skills or testament to people saying it's good. The truth is, most people don't even know what good writing is. The fact that Girls is considered a well-written show proves my point. There is, if you run that through the craft of writing, there is no craft. It's here's a scene that's wacky and weird, and here I am playing in it, which is fine. Just don't call it writing. Just call it a show or a character study. If that's what you want to do, let's do it. I wouldn't have as much problem with her if she did approach the show by saying, basically, I just go, wouldn't it be funny if this happened, if I got coked out in a party room and I was wearing a mesh shirt showing my titties. There's the titties again. Everyone laughs, and they do it. But real writing is saying, why would my character do that? What would make my character do that? And why is my character going through this experience? And what's this experience going to teach us about
the
character?
But if you follow the show, like, that's so fucking stupid to
say. I've seen everyone.
If you actually follow the show, there's a it's not just her randomly doing things. Like, you're making it seem like it's just, you know, right out of the blue. They're doing it for a fucking
reason.
That's what
it feels
like. It's not like... Well, to you, you must just be a fucking dumbass, because that's not
right.
How it feels like to
that's
me or anyone
good,
else.
That's a
that
good, clear counter-argument. Well, you must be a dumbass.
But I'll
well
say,
done.
Jake, like, there is a consensus about that show to where I am going to I'm not going to even TiVo it, because I don't want my husband to watch it. He doesn't need any more porn. But I'm going to watch it because Kathy likes it, Michelle likes it, Brody likes it. A lot of people that are smart like it, so I'm going to check
a lot
it
of people like Glee. A lot of people like How I Met Your Mother.
But not a lot of people in your group of people that we do respect. So I don't. I've really never gotten into Glee, but all I hear about is Girls. So it's got to be good.
Well, no. Let me clear it then. It's all I'm saying is it's not good in the form of the craft of writing. The show is entertaining. Like I said, I've said it multiple times. I've seen everyone, so I know people like it. I like it. The acting, the scenes are funny. So I get that people like it and defend it. All I'm saying is it's not well written. If people don't need writing to watch a show, then fine. Maybe not everybody needs to look at a show and go, well, how do the writers come up with that? That, for me, is how I enjoy something, and I understand that's not for everybody. So
And we are a reality show nation nowadays. It's just a scripted reality show type. I mean, it's copying life, you know.
It's
so,
just,
yeah, maybe. It's not a sitcom by any means.
I've just noticed a deterioration in writing as a whole in the entire entertainment industry over the last 30 years. I mean, to the point now where every new blockbuster movie is just a remake of another movie from 15 years ago. Like, there's no more original ideas. There's no pushing story, and it's very rare. When a show is well-written, like, for example, Breaking Bad, that's an excellent, well-crafted, written show. everybody talks about that show. When they talk about that show, they say, that show is so well written. They never say that about Girls. They'll say, I like the character, I like the acting, I like the scenes. So my argument is, just because people like it doesn't necessarily mean it's crafted well. And I don't fault people for liking Girls. I didn't attack it like I do Glee, because Glee is a horrible fucking show around the clock. There's nothing good about that. I'm just saying.
No, but you did, like, just sit for 10 minutes describing how much of a fat hog the star of the show is. And no, she isn't. If you've seen any pictures of her, she isn't that fat compared to a lot of people today. So I think you just sound like a fucking douchebag.
Well, I do that on purpose, because it is amusing to me that no matter when you do talk about Lena Dunham and that show and how gratuitous the nude scenes are, is that it always does go there. It always goes to, well, you don't like the fact that she's disgusting. And I've noticed that. I noticed that. That's why Judd Apatow responded to the guy asking the question, that he was misogynist. That seems to be the general reaction for people. So I thought I'd just cut to the chase and just start there and get that out of the way to avoid any suspicion thereof. And as I said, if she were a beautiful, well-figured woman who had, you know, the most perfect body, I would have the same complaints, if not more. So no, it isn't that. And she is, I only point out that she's a fat, disgusting pig to upset people that defend her by saying that anyone that has a problem with her lazy writing and gratuitous Flasher-esque nudity is just to point it out that that is what it is. I just, you know, I don't want to spend much more time on it. Anything else, Brody?
No, thanks for
taking
my call.
I'm glad you liked the show. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Brody.
See ya.
Brody's very passionate about that show.
I think you're totally not being honest with yourself, though, about the size thing. Because I really think if she wasn't a fat hog, as you say, that you would not have as much issue, and nor would any man. It would be the women then. So that's where I'm saying it's still the nudity in itself constantly in your face is a little much. But I think different sides would not like it at different times. So you guys don't like the fat, naked chicks, and I think us women, and I'm just, would not be as excited about a hot, naked chick. Like, I don't want my husband to watch it. It's so much sex. Like, so that's kind of my problem with it. It does ruin the storyline for me because it becomes about sex.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like I said, I watched everyone. So when Girls started, I did like it. And when she was nude the first few times, I laughed, and I was like, wow, she's so brave. I say the things that people would argue against me now. I really would. And
no,
I
agree,
fun.
Because she does have all the critics after her on her body for being naked.
But, I mean, she is disgusting to look at. So the fact that
she's brave,
like, no, she is, that cannot be, don't argue that. Please don't. Are we at the point now where
I don't know which one was her. I'm going to Google her.
She's the fat, disgusting.
Go on.
She's disgusting. She looks like me. If I were naked, it would be disgusting. It's just, there's just saggy hanging parts. She's not an attractive woman. She's just not. So when I watched the show, I was like, well, that's kind of
I beg to differ, actually. I think
okay,
she's very pretty.
You guys also, you're also into 300 or 400-pound women. So we've already
fat.
Had this.
You are such a butthead. I'm looking at
he
her picture
the
right
guy
now.
That said he wanted a fat woman. He was attracted to them so that he could make them lose weight and then they wouldn't leave him. We already had this on-air discussion.
She's not obese, though.
She's not obese.
Not,
she's just disgusting. Anyway, I don't. Want the point is, the first few times, and Jen, you'll watch the show now, and you'll.
She looks right. She looks like a real woman.
You'll go average. It's cute. It's fun. She's brave. You'll watch the show week in and week out. You'll do the same thing I did. You'll get through the first season. You'll be excited. What happened? You got hit by a car. What's going to happen in the second season? And then you'll go to the point where I am, where there is a point where you start feeling this uncomfortable pit in your stomach. Every time she gets naked, you'll feel uncomfortable. And everyone
she's
out there.
She's playing ping pong in a picture naked. Like, there's no
dude,
need for that.
She's naked all the time. Like, she's literally naked all the time. And if people were honest here, and they're not, they would admit that when they watch it, they do feel uncomfortable on some level. Because what's really happening here is you are being flashed. You are being sexually perpetrated. It is absolutely true. And you know what? I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Jen, I want you to watch all the seasons that are out there. And unobjectively, I will take your advice on it because I respect you. You tell me if you didn't at some point become uncomfortable by the flashing. Okay? Will you do that for me and then I'll stop talking about it?
I will. And I know I will feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable with any sex scenes. That's my own issue.
No, but I mean you'll be
I know her being nude all the time will bother me.
You'll be specifically uncomfortable by the fact that the creator and writer of this show is writing in scenes for her to be completely naked in a gratuitous, and non sequitur fashion, and it will make you uncomfortable. And if it doesn't make you uncomfortable, then obviously you need to get some psychological treatment. It should make you.
Okay.
Like if I got naked
I've
every podcast.
I've been flashed by you couldn't avoid that. You can avoid this, so it's not really her flashing if you're choosing to watch it.
That's a very good point. All right. Then that's why I stopped watching it. So yeah, she doesn't like come to my house and press her fat.
You like it, you know you like it.
I just, Eli, what do you really find her attractive? Let me be honest.
Yeah, I actually do.
I just looked up her picture and I find her body, I mean, a little squishy, but not gross at all. Like I think
I think it looks normal. It looks like a lot of women's bodies actually. She might
if
be
you
know a little.
Grimace, that's what he would look like. You know the purple monster from McDonald's? Grimace?
With the cookie
burger? If you bleached him and put a wig, that's what she looks like. She looks like Grimace.
I think you're being a little bit dramatic with that. I think she's very pretty. I just don't like her tattoos, and she has a couple freckles that bother me. But I
What's wrong with
that
tattoos and freckles?
Eli's sounding so calm here, but if people knew... Eli had this beautiful girl in college that was in love with him. He sent me pictures when we were living apart. And I'm like, dude, go for it. And he's like, meh. And it turned out after some pushing and printing, you know what it was? She had a mole on her neck, and he couldn't get past the mole. He said he would envision and stare at it to rip it off. And he did not have a relationship with this beautiful woman because of one tiny mole on her body. And Eli,
tell you what, though, Jake, I have a mole on my neck, and all my baby does is try to pick it off. It's so
that's
disgusting.
What
like, yeah, nothing. I teach
am
my
I
kids to point them out and just say moly, 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 and then it's over.
My mother,
Eli, am I wrong?
My mother had a mole on her face, and she told me I try to take a spoon, dig under it, and flip it out. And after a while, she got it removed, but it really bothered me. It really did.
So don't be talking to me about how, like, I have weird expectations of what's attractive.
I didn't say it was weird. All I said is that, you know, to each his own, you know?
Oh, no. I'm sure someone out there wants to fuck somebody that looks like Lena Dunham. That's fine. I'm not saying that, like, you're crazy if you're attracted to Lena Dunham. I'm just saying let me put it this way. I'd rather be flashed by someone mildly attractive. If I'm going to get flashed.
Like, you don't even think she's mildly attractive at all?
See, you totally are admitting your true self right now. You're not okay with it because she's ugly.
I just painted myself in a corner. I saw that.
You did. You're like, I don't mind being flashed if it's by a hot chick. You're not abused. You just don't want to... You're so pissed that she wrote her ugly self in instead of the hot chicks.
It's entirely possible. But I will put it this way. If I was repeatedly flashed by a hot chick, I would get creeped out. I would. I really would.
No, you wouldn't.
I mean that. No, I would. Like, because the point
I'm going to really try to watch it knowing that she's the writer and writing herself in to get naked, and then who else gets naked? Because it seemed like a lot of people were naked. It wasn't just her.
No, yeah. The first season, like, everyone gets naked, and then, like, middle of second, even me and my wife were talking about this last year when we watched it. It's like, they're no longer letting anyone get naked. It's just her.
Hmm.
And then the weird thing is, like, when you start thinking, she's the one writing the show. It's where you'll start getting the pit in your stomach because it's not so much it's part of the life in New York. Like she'll say, oh, this is just a real life and we're naked. Because real life, if you're writing the scenes to be accurate, you wouldn't be only writing that only you were nude. Which is why it does feel a little sexually.
I read that too, that it's just real life and I see her playing ping pong naked and I'm like,
yeah,
okay, this is like a porn.
Life.
Like it really is.
If
people can't admit it's porn in the chat room, like, it's not porn, it's porn. People are fucking, it's soft porn. You don't see all the organs or whatever, but it's porn. They're going down on each other. I watched it. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is really graphic.
You know, I think I do have to get going. I just will say that as I think now, as you tell me it is because she's not attractive, I think it is ultimately more creepy when someone that flashes you is gross. Because if somebody's attractive
See,
flashing
you need to stop, Jake.
But here's why. Let me explain before I go. Because the person that's flashing you, if they're attractive, you can at least argue or make a reason in your head that they're proud of their body, and maybe they just want to show it off. And like, I got flashed in my first week of college in Denver, and downtown this beautiful woman rolled down her window and flashed me and my friend her boobs. And they were all drunk. They were drunk girls in the car, but they were attractive. And it was kind of nice. But then, of course, afterwards, I was like, oh, that was a little uncomfortable just because they were laughing at my reaction. But whatever. The point is, at least you're like, well, she works hard in the gym. She looks good. Maybe she likes that's part of the exhibitionism. When it's a disgusting fat body like
Lena Dunham. She's not disgusting.
No, when it's a hideously unattractive person like Lena Dunham, then it kind of feels like, okay, it's not so much that you're nude. It's also your body. It's also your belly and your saggy parts. And you're putting that in my face because you want a reaction. So it's a little more disturbing because it's not just the genitals. It's look at my weird body that you never see. Look how gross it is. And that feels really, really gross as a viewer. It does feel gross.
It just does feel a little bit like how when women who want to, you know, protect their right to breastfeed wherever they want, and they purposefully will take their baby out and have a sit-in of breastfeeders.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it is a little bit of forcing you to see a person that is more realistic, not a fat hog, like you say, but she is more realistic. Like, I looked at her, and no, she's not a fat hog.
She really,
like, she'd probably be 20 pounds overweight. Like,
that's
she's not a fat hog.
Just because everyone else in America...
Hog.
No, see, this is the thing. Everyone in America is fat. So now it's like, just saying she looks like every normal person, that doesn't mean she's not fat. Just means every normal person's fat. I'm fat. But if I took my shirt off and I'm fat, and people said I was fat, I wouldn't get upset. If they said, oh, he's normal, he looks like every other person, then all that tells me is that every other person's fat. She's fat.
She has fat. I don't think she's, like,
she's fat.
Not how I picture fat. Not, like,
okay,
Nell
well,
Carter.
That's because everyone is so fucking fat that obesity is now, like, that's what's considered fat. Like, oh, no, that person's fat because they're 75 pounds overweight. That's fat now. But in the normal days, like, when we weren't all fucking crazy, 20 to 30 pounds overweight was fat. That was considered fat. That was considered unhealthy. They would make you do fucking extra laps in PE in the fifth grade if you had even the slightest bitch ditty. So as a society, we've gotten like more accepting of this unhealthy lifestyle. We've done many shows on it. She is a fat person. She is a fat person. I am a fat person. It's okay. We don't have to pretend that she's attractive. Why does everyone have to? Do you guys feel guilty like you have to pretend she's attractive? Is that what it is? Like, are you afraid to say she's disgusting? Do you feel like that?
I don't think she's, you know what? I will totally say when I think people, not look, I mean, I would say, oh, wow, she's fat. Like, I wouldn't be like, she's a disgusting fat pig because.
She's
like,
not obese, but she is a disgusting fat pig. Thank you very much. All
I
right,
don't think she's a disgusting fat body. I would enjoy hugging her.
And Eli, I know you're attracted to fat women. We've had this talk, but which is fine, to each their own. But she is fat, right?
I think she's meaty. I wouldn't consider her fat. I consider her. She has a lot of things to hold on to.
Right.
In other words,
a lot of fat.
Like, she, not a lot of fat. Like, fat would be, you know, Nell Carter.
She's soft. She's soft and squishy.
What do you think? CM is on, by the way. CMW, hello. Join the conversation. When you see saggy hanging parts on a person, you guys understand that's fat cells, right? That's not just like loose skin filled
with
hair.
No, I have fat. Like, you've seen,
right.
I've made videos of my belly jiggling. I have
that's
fat. I don't feel like I am a fat person. That's how I feel about her. She has fat spots, but I don't think she is like a fat person. Like, if she's in clothing, I bet you she doesn't look, you know, fat. Where when I'm thinking fat, I'm thinking like
I bet
fat,
you her
like
upper
Biggest
arm,
Loser fat.
I bet if I lifted my arms and flexed my enormously masculine and sexy biceps, that her arms still would be thicker around than mine.
So.
So that's fat. Like she looks like she has PVC pipe.
I love how it's gone from she shows her body too much and this is bad writing to it's all about that she's fat. It really is. You hate fat people as much as Susie. Like, you guys should go rape fat people.
I love fat people. I am not attracted to
them. But she's not fat.
Look,
she's big boned.
No,
yeah.
Those aren't bones hanging. Those aren't bones hanging over her belt. That's fat-filled skin. That's not a bone. There's no bone shaped like a pot belly and a giant ass hips. Those aren't bones. That's fat.
No, she has fat. She's not fat. That's what
okay,
I'm trying to say. There's a difference.
Okay, let's agree on that.
She has fat.
Right. She has lots of fat on her normal body. If that's what you guys need to say, fine. Again, I don't have a problem with her being fat. I have a problem with her fat body being shoved in my face week in and week out for no reason. If she wrote a story, like if she had written in the episode that, like, for instance, her character goes to a therapist because they're a sexual deviant who gets off on exhibiting their disgusting body in the public spaces, then that would be good, because then every
she's
time
totally
she's
totally Marilyn Monroe's body. Picture that. That's what she
no,
is.
She
that's
is
not even
Marilyn Monroe.
She
Jesus
is,
Christ.
Except she has a smaller bust, but other than that, she totally
Marilyn Monroe
is.
Marilyn Monroe was not fat. Now, that was a female
yes,
body.
Yes, she was. She had fat.
You're fucking crazy.
She looks beautiful.
She had an
I'm
hourglass.
I'm not crazy. You're crazy.
Now, if you took Marilyn Monroe's body and then shook her so that all of her curves went down to her ass and hips so that she looked like Bleach Grimace, then you could say she has the same body as Lena Dunham. But Marilyn Monroe is not a fucking pear-shaped fucking Bleach Grimace. She had curves. She was womanly. That's not fat. She's not fat.
It's the same body with smaller boobs.
It's not the same body. That's like saying I have the same body as fucking Channing Tatum. It's not true.
I did not say that.
Whatever. You guys are driving me crazy. CMW, you're on the air. I have to go. But Lena Dunham is a fat, disgusting person. Would you agree? Yes or no?
Well, my name's Chris, and I wouldn't agree that she's disgusting, no.
Thank
but you,
Chris.
You are a homosexual, for the record.
Oh, yeah, Jake, I am a homosexual, and you said that you never had a gay guy on the show, and he was wrong.
That's a good point.
That's right.
That's a very good point. Thank you, Chris. Why do you like Broadway?
I like Broadway, yeah.
Sure. So you're just playing the stereotype. What did you want to call about? Because I do have to go.
I don't know. People said, Jen said to call in about Rodman, and then she said call in about something else. So I don't know if that one called about.
Jen, are you toying with Chris?
No, I think it's good that he calls in. What are you saying? He shouldn't have called in?
No, I just
thought, you know, he's into radio, and he's into current events, and he's very political. I thought it would be a good idea for him to call in. Wouldn't you, Jake?
I do. That's a very good point. So give me 10 seconds on what we talked about today, Chris, your thoughts, and then we're going to go.
Yeah, let's have Chris's thoughts. That's perfect.
Yeah, let's have Chris wrap up the show. Okay, Chris, wrap up the show, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, I don't watch the show Girls, but I like the other HBO shows, like Getting On, and I like Jay Rodriguez. I like Tim O'Malley, The Country, and The Queer Eye Show, and I like Jake.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Can I ask him one question, Chris?
God, I have to go. Yes.
I'm so sorry. If you were straight, Chris, though, would you like a woman with some curves, right?
Yeah, I did it. In high school, in middle school, I dated a girl with a few curves. Mm-hmm.
Good. See, yeah, he's a curvist.
All right, now you're gonna make me do this. Okay, fat women always date gay guys. That's just one of the laws of the jungle. Okay, truth hammer time. For two reasons: one, straight men are not attracted to fat people, just like straight women aren't attracted to fat guys. And two, they're kind of both in a closet, and they kind of feel like, what the hell? And the gay guy's not so sure yet. So a fat woman's a safe way for him to feel like he's with a woman, but not intimidating, because he doesn't care if he breaks her heart because she's fat. So every fat person I've ever known, along with every gay guy, they have at some point dated. So this makes my argument even more so that Lena Dunham is disgusting, because she fits in where a homosexual would have sex with her, not a straight man. And on that note, I want to thank everybody. Thank you, CMW and Jay, and Brody even, who called in. I thought he was a good call. And Jen and Eli. I thought it was a fun show. I will think about what you said. I will think about it, Jen. It is possible that the fact that she is such a disgusting, hideously unattractive female might be what bothers me. That is, I should look into that.
That is definitely what's bothering you.
Yeah,
misogynist. You don't hate women being naked. You hate fat women being naked. You're a fat misogynist.
I don't like fat women being naked, no. Just as, again, I don't think anyone would appreciate seeing me naked. I feel, every time me and my wife have sex, I cry a tear for her. Like, this poor thing has to happen. Like, it's just not attractive. It just isn't. Can we all just admit that it's not attractive? It's just not.
Yeah,
so,
but I don't think she's at that point. I don't think she's at that point of unattractive. I mean, unless
Nina
you're, Dunham
I
don't know,
I
her fate.
She has the female body of my body. Like, we are the same on the, whatever the BMI scale, we would be the same. We would. Like, and I, when I take my clothes off, there's a saggy belly like she has. There's a big fat ass. There's bitch titties. There's hanging fat skin because I'm out of shape. And here's the difference. Like Brody said, I do radio. I don't go up there and shove my disgusting fat body in any of your faces. And I certainly wouldn't do it week in, week out. I certainly wouldn't write it into the podcast and videotape it. And I certainly wouldn't call you a man-hater or having issues if you were grossed out by my disgusting fat body. The thing is, I understand it's a disgusting fat body, so I keep it clothed and hidden, like any respecting fat person should. So, Lena Dunham,
well,
I do not appreciate your fat.
On behalf of us women, I thank you.
Thanks. Okay. So you get it now. Thank you. You're welcome.
I do. Like, I get, but I can choose not to watch it. So I don't think she's a predator. I think that's where you're off. Like,
no,
if you're not attracted to her and it grosses you out, you don't have to watch it.
That's true. She is not, like, coming into my house and breaking through the windows or anything. That is a very good point.
Right.
So that is what happened.
She's
I
not,
don't watch the show anymore. I don't.
Drive-through would be a good idea, too, for all you flashers. That's how I would do it. Just
that's a good idea. Drive-by flashing?
Drive-through, like you're picking up your food, all of a sudden you just whip it out and then pull off.
Isn't there like that thing they do with ice cream cones where they YouTube it? We should make the next YouTube sensation of flashing. We should bring flashing back.
Do it out of your mom's office. <It'll> I'm just kidding. Like, seriously.
No, I will. Well, you know what? Now that Lena Dunham's made such progress for women and fat people and flashers, I think we should all collectively enjoy this new landscape. I think everyone who wants to force their naked body in the vision of other people, we should feel free to do it. It's just artistic expression. All right, everybody. I'm so mad at that fat fucking hog. She makes me so mad. God. Fucking misogyny, you fat dumb as shit. All right, everybody.
Oh, dear.
I tried to hold it together. I'm trying to be professional.
The truth came out. You can thank Brody. He triggered it all.
Brody got me, and you got me. Fine. I admit it. I am not. I do not appreciate someone so disgustingly rotund nude in my face. I'm with you on that. On
you're
the show.
Disgusting.
But also, she is a sexual predator. I believe that. All right. Thank you, everybody. Bye, Jen. Bye, Eli. Have a good day.
Bye, guys.
Go Broncos. Bye.